daf is Ksuvus daf Yud Gimel. We are holding at the Mishnah on the top of daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. The Mishnayis are going to continue in the Machlokos between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua when there's a dispute between the man and the woman as far as what her status was, whether the woman is believed or the man is believed. So we're going to start with the Mishnah that discusses where she says that she was a Mukas Eitz, and he says, no, you aren't a Mukas Eitz, you were Drusas Ishat, that you had been with a man. So there's going to be a Machlokas from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara is then going to have a Machlokas, what exactly each one is claiming. Is the man claiming I owe you nothing, or is the man claiming I owe you money? Is the woman claiming you owe me money, or is the woman claiming you owe me Masayim? And then the Mishnah in the middle of the Amud and Daf on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph is going to discuss if we see a girl speaking with somebody, and or we find a girl that's pregnant, and she says that that the guy is kosher. What, is she believed that the guy is kosher? Do we assume that she's psul lekuna? Do we assume that the guy is someone who would passel her lekuhuna? The Gemara is going to discuss what midaberes means. That we see her speaking with someone. It can't mean speaking with somebody, because speaking would certainly not passel anybody. So it has to mean something more than that. The question is, what exactly does it mean? It's going to be a machlokas. The Gemara is going to bring many rayas, whether it means that she had yichud with somebody, or it means more than that, that we saw that she actually had bia with somebody. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas, whether saying that the mother is kasher, let's say when in the case where she sees that she's pregnant, where we see that she's pregnant and she says that it was she was nevelas to someone who's kasher, so whether saying that she is kasher necessarily means that the daughter is also going to be kasher, or maybe you could split the two. Maybe we could say that we believe her legabe herself because she has a cheskas kashrus, but the daughter doesn't have a cheskas kashrus, so maybe we're not going to believe her with regard to the daughter. And then the daf is going to conclude with a concept, an interesting concept called a shtuki that's kosher. Normally shtuki means someone that we don't know is yichus and therefore is automatically not going to be kosher, but a kosher shtuki, somebody whose father is definitely a kohen, we just don't know which kohen. So on a certain level he's a shtuki because we don't know exactly who he is, we don't know who his father is, but on another level he's still kosher because we know that all the options are good options, meaning whoever his father might be is someone that would be kosher. So let's see the Mishnah. He omeres mukas eitz ani. Mishnah on top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. He omeres mukas eitz ani. She says, I am a mukas eitz, meaning you're right that I am not a besula. He comes with the tainas damim or a tainas besula, tainas pesach pesuch, whichever one he comes, whether he says that she was pesach pesuch, whether he says that he didn't find damim. She says that's absolutely true because I am a mukas eitz. V'hu omer loki el drusas ishat. And he says that is not correct. That's not true. You're lying to me. In fact, I believe that you were a drusas ish, that you had been with another man before Erisin, and that now he's not accusing her of cheating on him. He's saying that I believe you were with another man before Erisin. You lied to me about your status, and I was expecting you to be a basula, but it turns out that you were a ba'ula. Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar omer na'am menes. Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar say, we believe her. Rav Yeshua omer, lo mipia anochayin ala rezu b'cheskos drusas ish, ad shetavi raya lidvareha. That we cannot believe her, because, and we rather we assume that she's a drusas ish, unless she brings a raya lidvareha. Now so Rabbi Yeshua says lo mipia anuchayin, and therefore she loses either her a portion of her ksuba or her entire ksuba. That's going to be machlokas in the Gemara exactly what each one's taina is. Tosos and Daftesam and Beis raise the question: why should she lose her ksuba? It's a svek sveka. Safek mukas eitz or drusas ish, and even if she was a drusas ish, maybe she was ne'enas tachtav, maybe she was ne'enas while she was already be'erisin with him, and then she should get a ksuba masayim because she didn't fool him at all and it wasn't her fault. So Tosa says that the safek onus is not considered a safek because it could be that she was ne'ensa before the erisin, and then she would still lose if she was ne'enas before the erisin, because then it's the same, because it would have been that she's deceiving him, because at the time of the erisin, that is something that she should have disclosed. So the Shidim Betzes Tosi Shalom just point out that according to this, our Mishnah can't be talking about where she was Niskadesh's Prusim Bas Shol Shonim Yomechad, because if that were the case, then there's no Cheshash that she was Nivellas before Erisin, and then it would be Sfak Sveka, Savig Mukaseitz, and even if not a Mukaseitz, maybe Ba'onas Nivela. But so it has to be a normal case where the Erisin happened when she was beyond the age of 3. But anyway, the Machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar on the one hand, and Rabbi Yeshua on the other side, is whether we believe him or whether we believe her. But ask the Gemara, Tainasayu B'mai, how much is each side claiming? Meaning, what's the man saying he owes? What's the woman saying she is owed? Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'Masai Mumana. Rabbi Yochanan says the machlokas is that the man is saying that he wants to pay her 100, and she's saying that she's really owed a ksuba of 200. Rabbi Elazar Amar b'Mana v'lo klum. Rabbi Elazar says no, it's not about 200 and 100; it's about 100 and v'lo klum. The man is saying I owe you 100, and the man is saying I owe you nothing, and the woman is saying you owe me 100, that you at least owe me the 100. So Rabbi Yochanan Masai Mumana, why does Rabbi Yochanan hold that the man is claiming he owes only 100 and the woman's claiming she's really owed 200 when the woman says Mukasei Tzani, because Savalak Rav Meir, Damar Bein Hikr Ba Bein Lo Hikr Ba Masayim. He must hold like Rav Meir, who says that when a girl is a Mukaseitz, whether the husband knew about her status as a Mukaseitz in advance or not, and over here it's a case of not, he didn't know about her Mukaseitz status in advance, she would still get Masayim. So that would be the Raya that our Mishnah is talking about, that when she says in our Mishnah that she's a Mukaseitz, she's claiming Masayim. And therefore when the man says Drusas Ish, so what he's saying is that when the I don't think you're a mukaseitz, I think you're a bu'ula, and when I married you as a besula and it turns out that you're a bu'ula, the halacha is I only have to give you 100, I don't have to give you 200. So Rabbi Yochanan is assuming not only that bein hikar bebe and lahokir ba masayim, he's also assuming kansa becheskas pesula v'nimtzeis fu'ula is yesh l'ksuba mana, that it's not a mekach tolos l'gamri, and that's why the man is saying yes, I do in fact owe you 100. I just he's not saying that he owes nothing. He's saying that he does owe 100. Reb Lazar says no, b'mana v'lo klum, that they're arguing about mana v'lo klum, that the man is saying I owe you nothing. Nothing. And the woman is saying, no, you owe me 100. Why? Savala karaban and damri bein hikir ba bein lo hikir ba mana. Because he holds like the Rabbi Elazar holds like the Rabbanan, who say that if a girl is a mukaseitz, whether the guy knew about it in advance or whether the guy did not know about it in advance, mukaseitz is treated like a ba'ula. She only gets a mana. She only gets 100. She does not get the ksuba of 200. So if the woman is only claiming 100, then obviously the man is saying that I owe less than that. The man is saying that he owes nothing. So what Rabbi Elazar must be assuming is that kansa becheskas besula v'nimtzeis bu'ula, that if you thought she was a besula and it turns out she's a bu'ula, it's a mekach tos l'gamri, he owes nothing. And that's why the woman's claiming she's owed 100, the man is saying, no, I owe you nothing, because it's entirely a mekach tos. So frankly, Gemara, so I understand very well why Rabbi Elazar doesn't want to say like Rabbi Yochanan, because he would rather the Mishnah fit in according to the sheet of the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan are the ones that say that a Mukas Eitz gets only 100. So in order for that to be the case of the Mishnah, you have to say the woman is claiming 100 when she says Mukas Eitz, and the man is therefore saying I owe you nothing. So it makes a lot of sense that you would like our Mishnah to conform to the shita of the Rabbanan. El Rabbi Yochanan, my time alo omer k'Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Yochanan not say like Rabbi Elazar? Meaning Rabbi Yochanan locks our Mishnah in to the shita that holds that a mukas eitz, bein hikirba, bein lo hikirba, gets masayim. That is not the generally accepted opinion. That's not the opinion of the majority. That's not the opinion of the Rabbanan. Why would you understand the Mishnah that way? That she's claiming masayim and he's responding that, no, I only owe you 100. Wouldn't it be better to make our Mishnah conform to the more broadly accepted opinion of the Rabbanan, that when she says Mukas Eitz, she's only asking for 100? So says Mar Kasavar, because well, the reason Rabbi Yochanan can't say that way is because Rabbi Yochanan holds that when you marry a girl assuming she's a basula and it turns out that she's a bu'ula, she is entitled to a ksuba of 100 zuz. So therefore he has to understand in the Mishnah that when the husband says lo kia ledrusas ishat, the husband is saying I only owe you 100. Well, if the husband's saying I only owe you 100, the wife has to be asked for more than 100. She can't just be asking for 100. Hacha huka amramana, vihika amramana. So if he's saying 100 and she's saying 100, Ma'ika bein taina didei l'taina dida. Then what's the difference between his taina and her taina? It can't be that she's saying I'm a mukasetz and therefore you owe me 100, and then he's saying no, you're drusas ish and therefore I owe you 100. If they both agree that he owes the same amount of money, then there's nothing that they're arguing about. So he has to say that our Mishnah is assuming, not like the Rabbanan, that when the woman is claiming mukasetzani, she's in fact claiming the full masayim. So it says in our Bishlam of the Rabbi Lazar, Hainu diktani tarti, chadala afuki midrami barchama, v'chadala afuki midrabichia barav and amrav sheshes. I understand very well, according to Rabbi Lazar, who holds that they're arguing about bimana velo klum, that the woman is claiming that she's owed only 100 as a mukasetz, and the man is saying that he owes nothing because it's a complete mekach tos. So I understand why we need to have this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah of Misha Rastani Nanasti, where the woman claims that she was Nanas after Erisin, because each Mishnah teaches us a Chiddush. As Rashi points out, Chadul Afuke Midrami Recham V'Chadul Afuke, he omers Misha Rastani Nanasti, Tanu L'misni Ba, V'Hayamechi Mekach Ta'us, L'Gamri Mashma. The reason we needed the previous Mishnah is to tell me that when the husband claims that he thought she was a Basula and turns out she's a Ba'ula, he's claiming a total Mekach Ta'us, V'Ein L'Klum, and therefore she shouldn't be entitled to anything. L'Afuke Midrami Recham V'Chadul Afuke, Dar Malel, comes because to tell me that that's considered a full mekach tos and that she gets nothing, as opposed to the shita of Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, who holds that she would still be entitled to a mana even if he thought she was a basula. V'tane hi omeres mukaseitzani. Now our Mishnah comes to teach me la fuki midrav v'chama damalav gab mukaseitz avalo hikar badivya kol v'lo klum. Our Mishnah comes to teach me that when she says that she's a mukaseitz, that not to say like Rabbi Bar Chama, who said that lo hikar bav lo klum. No, when she says she's a mukaseitz, even though he wasn't aware of it, our Mishnah is coming to teach me that she's still entitled to a mana. So the previous Mishnah is coming to teach me what the halacha is when it's chansa becheskos pesula v'nimtzis pu'ula. Our Mishnah is coming to teach me what the halacha is when a girl is a mukaseitz that he was lo hikar ba. It was a mukaseitz that he was unaware of. Each one is highlighting a new halacha that we didn't know. But El Rabbi Yochanan Tarti Lameli. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Kansa Becheskas Pesula V'Nimtzes Peula has a Ksuba Mana, so you can't say the previous Mishnah is teaching me that it's a complete Mekach Tos. It's not true. He holds that she still is entitled to a Ksuba Mana. When it said in the previous Mishnah Mekach Tos, it didn't mean Mekach Tos Legamri. It meant Mekach Tos from Masayim. But you're still going to get Mana. You're still going to get 100. So why is the previous Mishnah needed at all? If it's not adding anything that our Mishnah doesn't already teach. So Chadus answers Gemara, Enochinami, they're both about the same basic idea, but Chadul Odiacha Kochad Rabbi Gamliel, V'Chadul Odiacha Kochad Rabbi Yeshua, that they teach the Machlokas in both the previous Mishnah and this Mishnah between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua to show how strongly each side holds their opinion. Kamaisel Odiacha Kochad Rabbi Yeshua, Da'af Gav Dikal Memer Migo Lo Mehemna. In the previous Mishnah, the woman claimed Misharastani Nanas. She could have claimed that she was a mukaseitz, so she had a migo over there. And nevertheless, the Rabbi Yeshua is still going to say lo mipi anu chayin. Even though she has a migo, even though she could have said a better taina, she could have said that she was a mukaseitz, we still say that we're not going to believe her. That's how strongly Rabbi Yeshua holds his opinion. But Sreisel Odiach Kochot Rabbi Gamliel, our Mishnah comes to tell me how strongly Rabbi Gamliel holds his opinion. Da'alvagav Deleka Lemeimer Migo Mehemna, that even though there is no migo over here, still it's going to be the woman is going to be believed to say that she was a mukaseitz, even though there's nothing that she could have said better. Meaning, there's nothing to say better than to say that she's a mukaseitz. Shita Mukbetz has raised the question. Wait, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, it could be that our Mishnah is coming la afuke midram berchama, that a mukaseitz lo hikirba lukuli alma gets nothing, because according to him she would still get mana, and the taina would be b'masayim mana. So our Mishnah could be la'afukim b'dirami barchama. So he works on that kasha. A lot of the Rishonim work on that kasha. But bottom line, the way the Gemara is suggesting over here is that in achinami, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the two mishnayos are only necessary just to tell me how seriously each opinion in the mishnayos holds their opinion, but not that there is a separate halacha being derived or being taught in each of these mishnayos. No mishnah now. Ru'ua midaberes emechad. Let's say you see the woman midaberes. Now midaberes literally means speaking, obviously, but it's clearly not what it means over here. The Gemara is going to discuss what the lashon of midaberes might mean. Now, considering that midaberes either means yichud or that it means having bia, let's even assume the lesser one that it only means yichud. Why would the Mishnah use a lashon of midaberes where you could, or certainly according to the maskana that it means yichud, and it's obvious that midaberes is a lishna ma'aliyah, we're using some sort of lishna nekiyah. Why would the Mishnah use such a vague term, which one might have thought means bia? Why not just say ruah shenistera? There's a perfectly, I understand if you want to say that it means bia, so you don't want to say bia, that's already not a lishna nekiyah, not a lishna ma'aliyah, you don't want to talk about that. Fine, so I understand you don't want to say that. But if it's nistera, is that really so terrible to say that she was nistera? Especially when being vague is going to lead people to misunderstand what's going on over here. So the Ma'arik writes in Shorosh Kuf Samach, in Shuvas Ma'arik, that really yichud bi'alma for a short amount of time without the das for znus is not, Rabbi Shor would hold, would not ask her over here. But over here, the sugya is talking about where she was medaberes beforehand. B'divrei tiflus, we saw that they were always flirtatious with each other, that there was something going on over here. And then they had yichud. It was in that context that they had yichud. So then there's a raglayim ledavar that yichud was aldas znus, and that's why the Ziri used the lashon of nistera, not the lashon of nisyachta. We're going to see in the Gemara that even if you hold that medaberes means yichud, the lashon the Gemara uses to describe it is nistera, not nisyachta. Nisyachta would sound yichud bialma. Sometimes yichud happens by accident. You stay late in the office, you didn't realize everyone else left, and the only one left there is the woman who's cleaning up or something. You didn't even realize. That's yichud. Nistera implies bekavana, and that's what medaberes means over here. Medaberes is not while they're having yichud. It's not describing the yichud. It's describing the context of the yichud and why we think this yichud is a bad thing. So the Mishnah is talking about a case where you see her medaberes va'amrulan. They say to her, mativo shalishzeh. What's the story with this fellow that you're being medaberes with? So she claims ishploni. The Kohenu, that this guy is a certain guy, and he happens to be a Kohen. Now, generally speaking, when we say Yishplonim v'Kohenu, the simple understanding is that it's not, as Rashi writes on Daf Yud Beis and Beis, that it doesn't mean a Kohen Mamish, it means he's a Miyuchas. It means that he's not going to passel me l'kuhuna. He's kosher l'kuhuna. Because a woman is not ne'emenes to be machzik and ubar b'cheskas Kohen for kuhuna, for truma, to do the avoda. She certainly can't say that my baby is a Kohen. So when she says Kohen, what she means to say is that he's a Miyuchas. And that's how the Ritva writes as well. Rav Gamliel certainly doesn't mean that she's ne'emenes in everything that she's saying, and if she's saying that he's a Kohen, that the baby's necessarily going to be a Kohen. The whole ne'emenes of the woman is only because she has a cheskas haguf, that she's k'sheira l'kuhuna. So that's as far as her ne'emenes will go, to allow her to be k'sheira l'kuhuna. So just to say that this man is not an apostle. However, the Ra'ar writes that if the woman claims b'tainas bari, that it was from this man, and he's a Kohen, she's ne'emenes l'inyin kuhuna as well, even to be matir the vlad, to have truma. So it could be that, and it certainly fits the lashon of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah doesn't just say ishploni v'kashu, it says ishploni v'kohenu, that according to the Ra'ah, she actually has that kind of ne'emanus, which is quite a chiddush, that she would be believed to even go that far to say that he's a Kohen. So anyway, so that's what she claims. Rav Gamliel and Rav Lazar omrim ne'emanus. Rav Gamliel and Rav Lazar say, now over here we're not talking about ksuba anymore. This has nothing to do with ksuba. Now we've shifted, and now we're talking about whether she herself is going to be k'sher l'kuhuna. So we're out of ksuba disputes for the time being. So when Rav Gamliel and Rav say she's ne'emenes, that she's k'sher l'kuhuna. Rabbi Yeshua Omer lo mipiyanu chayin ela reizu b'cheskas b'ulo l'nasan l'mamzer ad shetavi l'raya l'devareha. That no, we can't believe her. It's lo mipiyanu chayin. She's assumed to be that she was with, a nusin or a mamzer, someone that would passel her to kahuna, and therefore until she brings a raya l'dvareha. We give the example of a nusin or a mamzer, but the same would be true. Chalal, shtuki, asufi, meaning the point is that since she was nivela l'pasla, she's pasel the kahuna. That's why does Rabbi Shua dafka pick nusin and mamzer, and not say akum, eved? So akum and eved are, after all, a ruba di alma. Nusin and mamzer are only a miyut, meaning the chances are, if she was with anyone, it was probably a guy, meaning he wasn't a nusin or a mamzer. Why would you assume a nusin or a mamzer of all people? So the Pnei Yeshua explains that according to Rabbi Shua, the daughter's asura, mishum safik mamzer, she's asura afil lukal. She can't even marry a Jew. And that's why we don't say akum ve'evet, because in akum ve'evet abal bas Yisrael, the vlad is going to be kosher. So that's why we dafka say nusin or mamzer, to tell us that the daughter's asura be isur mamzerus, she's asur lekahal Yisrael. The Rabbi Kiveger says the opposite. Rabbi Kiveger in the Mishnayos and the Tosfos, Rabbi Kiveger says adraba. The reason that it says nusin and mamzer is to tell us that even though nusin and mamzer are only a miyut, still Rabbi Shua is going to passel, because Rabbi Shua would passel even berov ksherin. And therefore, even if for some reason we had no reason to assume that there was a guy that or an eved or anything like that, all we were concerned about is a nusin or mamzer, and nusin or mamzer are only the miyot, still we'd be concerned that it was a nusin or mamzer, meaning that we're choshesh for such a miyot. Until she brings a raya l'dvareha. So the Pnei Yeshua raises the question, what does it help that she's going to bring a raya l'dvareha, that she was nevelis from a kasher? We could say that just like she was mafker herself to a kasher, mistama she's mafker, meaning it's a reflection of her personality, no? Mm-hmm. That if she was mafker herself to a kasher, then mistama she was mafker herself to people who are pasul as well. That's from the Rambam writes in Yisuri Bia, in the 15th paragraph of Yisuri Bia, that even according to Rambam Gamliel, that she's ne'emenes, still if she's moda, that she was nivela to a mamzer, and he's moda as well, the vlad is only a suffolk mamzer. If both man and woman say that she was nivela to a mamzer, vlad's only a suffolk mamzer, because you don't know that it's his baby. So, because if she was mafka herself to this guy, she'll be mafka herself to other people as well. So why don't we assume that in the reverse over here, that just because she was nivelas to a kasher doesn't mean she was never nivelas to a pasul. So what is bringing a raya that one guy that she was nivelas to was kasher help? So the Pnei Yeshua suggests that since Rov HaOlam are Goyim and an Akum HaBal Bas Yisrael, the Vlad is Kasher Lekal, so once she brings a Raya that she slept with a Kasher, we're not Choshesh that she was Nivela to other Pesulim, because it's Sex Feka. That even if she was Nivela to other people, maybe she was Nivela to Rov Ksherim. So that's the suggestion, that maybe you could build in a Sex Feka over here to give her the Namonis, as long as you say that there's a chance that this baby came from a kasher. Weiter in the Mishnah, the next case, Haisumu Beres, let's say she was pregnant. So over here, it's not just Nisyachta, it's not just that we're assuming maybe she had Bia or anything. No, she was pregnant. You know that she had Bia, obviously. And they say, what's the story with this baby? Who's the father? Meish Ploni Vikoinu. And again, she says it's from this man and he's a Miyuchas. Ram Gomil of Rablazar Omrim, Ne Menes. Ram Gomil of Rablazar say, we believe her. Rabbi Shomer, Lomi Pianu, Chayin Allah Rezu Bechaskas Muberes, Nasal Mamzer, Achet Tavil Rayalid Vareha. We do not believe her, and we assume that she was with a nusin or a mamzer until she brings a raya. So I ask the Gemara the most fundamental question. My midaberes, the first case in the Mishnah, we saw her being midaberes. What does that mean exactly? Machlokes. Ziri Yomar Nistara. Ziri says all it means is that she had yichud. Ravasi Yomar Nivela. Ravasi says no, it means more than that. It means that she actually had bia. So Bishlam li Ziri, Hainu Diktani Medaberes. I understand very well, according to Ziri, that it does mean that she had bia. I understand why we'll use the term Medaberes. Medaberes implies that we don't know of any bia. El Rav Asi, my Medaberes. But according to Rav Asi, that we actually saw that she had bia, what's the term Medaberes? So it says, well, yeah, Lishna Ma'aliyah, we like to pick a Lishna Ma'aliyah, Lashon Nekiya. Kidichsiv, Achlo, Machsapia, Vamar Lo Palti Oven. We describe a girl who, in an act of Tashmish, who cleans herself off and says, after Tashmish, and says, I didn't do anything. So it describes as a person after they finished eating, cleaning off the mouth. We don't like to use graphic terminology to describe this kind of thing. So we use the term Medaberes rather than talk about Nivala. So Bishlam of the Ziri, I understand very well according to Ziri, you said that it's only Yichud, Haindu Diktani Tarti. I understand why we have two cases in the Mishnah, Midaberes, Umu Uberes. It makes sense that you can have a case of Midaberes and a case of Mu'uberes, because they mean different things. Midaberes means that we don't know she had Bia, we only saw Yichud. Mu'uberes means we know she had Bia. El Ravasi, Tarti Lamali. But according to Ravasi, the first case of the Mishnah is Midaberes. We saw that she had Bia. Second case of the Mishnah is Mu'uberes, where we know she had Bia. So what's the difference between the two cases? Why do we have to mention the Machlokas in both cases? Answers the Gemara, Chad de lahachshir ba, v'chad de lahachshir bebita. The first case doesn't talk about a pregnancy, so we know that the only nidon over here is herself, is whether she is going to be kshera or not. The second case talks about a pregnancy to highlight that we also have to talk about the status of the child that's going to be born. So that's the two cases in the Mishnah. One to tell us about her kashrus, one to tell us about the kashrus of the child. That works out very well if you assume that by being machshir, that the same that when you hold that she's kosher, the child's also going to be kosher. So then our Mishnah makes sense, because the same shita in the Reisha that says she's ne'emenes in the Sefer also says she's ne'emenes. When Lila or Blazer says she's ne'emenes about her, so she'd be ne'emenes about the daughter as well. El man yamul divrei machshir ba. But if you hold that even those who are machshir ba, and we're going to see such a shita on Amud Beis, that even when Leah Rav Lazar would say that she's kasher, are going to passel the daughter, so then how can you say that the Sefer of our Mishnah is talking about the yichus of the daughter? It can't be. The yichus of the daughter is no good no matter what. So answer Gemara, Rav Asi, Sefer, Kamad Yomar, the Divrei Machshir Ba, Machshir Bita. Rav Asi, who says that Midaberes means that she had Bia, must assume, like the opinion that holds that anyone who's machshir her will be machshir her daughter as well. And that's why we need to have both cases in the Mishnah. One to tell me that Rav Lazar and Gamliel are machshir ba, and the second case to tell me that Rav Lazar and Gamliel are machshir bibita. So that fits in perfectly. Now, when we say chad l'achshir ba, chad l'achshir bibita, Rashi writes that the Reisha needs to tell me that Rav Gamliel is matir, the woman l'kuhuna, and the Sefer is coming to tell me not only that she's mutaris l'kuhuna, but she has a cheskas kashrus, and therefore the daughter is assumed to come from this pregnancy and is mutar l'kuhuna as well, even though the daughter has no cheskas kashrus, because the very moment the daughter was born, she was already besafek. So you have to say that it's a lozu avzu katani. Meaning the way the style of the Mishnah is that not only by Midaberes is she Kshera, but even a greater Chiddush, meaning it's building up, even a Mu'uberes, the daughter is going to be Kasher. That's how the Rov Rishonim seem to understand. Tosa says, no, the Reish is coming to tell me the Koch of Rabbi Yeshua, that the Reish is highlighting that even though the woman has a Cheskas Kashrus, still Rabbi Yeshua is going to say we don't believe her. Whereas the Seif is coming to tell me Koch of Rabbi Gamliel. So it's not just the Lozu Avzu. Lozu Avzu would be if there was only one opinion, if you only had the opinion that's saying kasher, but when you have a machlokas, whether we believe her or not, so in the case that we're more likely to believe her, the Reisha, we're highlighting that even so, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't believe her. In the Sefer, where we're less likely to believe her, so we're highlighting that Rabbi Gamliel, even so, Rabbi Gamliel's not going to believe her. The Shev Shmaitza, he writes that the reason that we're machshir her and the reason we're machshir the daughter, according to Rabbi Gamliel, are not the same reason. The reason we're machshir the daughter is because the reason Magen Mishnah gives that the daughter doesn't have a cheskas kashrus, but a safik mamzer is mutter min haTorah. And the reason we're machshir her is because bari b'shema, that Rabbi Gamliel says the tainus bari wins, and that's where we're machshir ba, even though it's a safik min haTorah. So we need the ratio to be machshir ba, the safe to be machshir bita. It's not a lozu avzu. And it's not a chadalah diachal kochad Rav Gamliel chadalah. Says Shev Shmaitzi, each one is teaching me a new din. It's teaching me a new chiddush. That the being machshir ba is telling me that even though it's a suffering minatorah, time is bari wins. Being machshir bebita tells me that a suffering mamzer is mutter minatorah. That because the mother is not a shayla of mamzerus. The mother is a shayla just of whether she's mutaris l'kuhuna. So it's just about her time is bari. The daughter is a shayla of mamzerus. We have no idea who the father is. The father could be a mamzer. So the chiddush of the Sefer is that the child is not assumed to be a mamzer, because a suffix mamzer is kasher min haTorah. So says the Gemara further now, three lines from the bottom. Amalev papal abaye leziri damar my midaberes nistra. According to Ziri, that midaberes means that she had yichud. Vam Rabbi Shua lo mehemna. Rabbi Shua says she's not believed. Hamar Rav malkan al yichud veinosan al yichud lemed lo Rabbi Shua. But didn't Rav teach us that we never aser a woman based on yichud alone? Well, that would be against Ziri's understanding of Rabbi Shua. Ziri understands that in our Mishnah, all we know is she had Yichud, and Rabbi Shua still says she's going to be Psula Lekuhuna. I thought we don't ask her a woman based on Yichud alone. Answers the Gemara, we wouldn't ask her a woman to her husband based on Yichud alone. But to make a woman Psula Lekuhuna is a different story. Afil Tem Rabbi Shua, Maila Asu B'yuchsin. That we generally are more machmir when it comes to Yichus. When it comes to issues of kahuna, so even though generally speaking we're not going to ask a woman labaila based on yichud, but for kahuna we make an extra chumra for kahuna. Meisve ask maruah shenichusay mechel de seser. If we see that she goes alone into a room with a guy, olukhurva. So either seser or a churva. Churva is a place that miyuchad for znus. Va'amrula, and they say to her, mati voshalishze. What's the story with this man that you were just alone with? And she says, ish ploni v'kohenu. And she says kohenu, that the guy was a kohen, uben achiabahu, and it's ben achiaba. Now that's a little bit strange, meaning we haven't had that phrase yet. Meaning we just said kohen the whole time. That's just a way of identifying that the guy is a miyuchas. What's ben achiaba? It seems a little extra. Once she says kohen, what does she have to say? That it's my cousin, that it's my first cousin. Shita Mukbetzas writes that according to Ziri, it works out very well, because all it is yichud. So it's she's coming to explain that she was in siachid with him because they're related to each other, meaning it's just my cousin. It's just a family gathering. We're just getting together. But according to Rav Aski, that we're talking about that she was mezana, so what's she adding by saying ben achiaba? So the Shita Mukbetzas writes it's just saying one says the seisra of the churba, so two ways of going into a room. So we give two excuses of kashrus, two phrases of kashrus, just to keep it consistent. But it's not really adding anything by saying ben achiyaba. Difficult to understand what it would be adding. So anyway, so she said she goes into this area alone with this guy. What's the story with this guy? She says he's a miyuchas, he's fine. Say we believe her. Rabbi Shua says no, we don't believe her. We assume that she was with a nasan or a mamzer unless she brings a raya otherwise. So bishlam liziiri hainu duktanitarti leseser olukhurba. I understand very well according to Ziiri why it has to say both leseser and lukhurba. Remember, because Ziiri was the one that said that midaberes means nistera, that she had yichud. So seser just as stama yichud, and churba is a place that's miyuchad l'znus. El Ravasi damer nivela tarti lamali. But according to Ravasi, that the case is you see that she's having bia anyway. So what is seser and churba different from each other? They're both where she it's only going to work. They both have to mean over here that she's having bia. Meaning, according to Ziiri, the seser means we saw yichud. The churba means she had bia. According to Rav Asi, neither could mean yichud over here, because yichud alone wouldn't do it. So they both have to mean bia. So then why do we give two examples, seser and churba? They both mean the same thing. They both mean bia. So chad de katani leseser de churba. Now it's not saying two different things, that she went leseser or lechurba. It's saying one thing. She went leseser de churba. The private area of a churba. It's nice to say that, but that's not what it says. It says l'seisar oluchurba. So it's gemara chadu luchurba de masa, v'chadu luchurba de dabra. We're talking about two different types of churba. There's a churba de masa, the churba that's in town where most of the community is Jewish and therefore the rov ksheira metzla. And then there's a churba de dabra where people could come from rova olam, where rova olam are goyim, and therefore it's rov psulim. And you might have to worry about the rov psulim utzrichi, and that's the chiddush. Diashmin, we need both chidushim. Diashmin churba de masa. If it only would have told me the local churba, I would say b'hakam achshir Rav Gamliel mishum derov ksheir metzla. That's where Rav Gamliel is going to say kasher, because most of the people are kasher in town. Aval churba de dabra derov psulim metzla emod de Rabbi Shua. But in the churba of the midbar, where the guy could have come from anywhere, and therefore you have the rove of the olam, which is goyim and are psulim. So maybe Rav Gamliel would be modded Rabbi Yeshua that we should question her yichus. V'yashmin bahi, and if it only would have told me about the churba de dabra, bahi come Rabbi Yeshua aval bahi modded Rav Gamliel. I would say that's where Rabbi Yeshua is not going to believe her when it's churba de dabra and it's rove psulim. But a churba de masa, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would be modded Rav Gamliel is okay. Tzricha, that's why we need both cases of churba de dabra and churba de masa. So meisvei, the Gemara asks further. Zu edus isha ksherila, that this is an edus that the woman is kasher, to say that lekasher nevalti, when she says I was nevelis to someone kasher, so she's believed about that. Rabbi Shua omer eina ne'emenis. Rabbi Shua says no, she's not believed. Now the conversation continues in the Braisa. That part of the Braisa didn't tell us anything new. We know Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar argue with Rabbi Yeshua about whether a woman is believed to say that the man that she was with is a miyuchas. But here the follow-up conversation is what's critical. Amar lem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Gamliel, Iyate modim b'shvuyah shenishveis v'yesh la'edim shenishveis v'yomeres Torah nishen ne'menes. Don't you agree that if a woman is captured, and we know she was captured, there are edim that she was captured, so you don't even have a pesha asar, that she's the one that told us she's captured, and therefore maybe you could believe her that nothing happened to her. No, we know she was captured. We have edim that she was captured. And she comes out insisting that nothing happened, that she's tahora. Don't you admit that she's ein ne'emenes in that case? So why should this be any different? Samlo, the Chum said back, Rabbi Azra and Ramuel said back, Aval, absolutely we agree that she would not be believed in that case. And what's the difference? What's the difference between a woman who was Nistra saying that she's Kshera versus a woman who's Shvuya saying that she's Kshera? Says Lazu Yesh Edim, Lazu Ein La Edim. Because by the Shvuya there were Edim that she was in captivity, and we know therefore that she was Nevelas. Over here there are no Edim, so we don't know that she was Nevelas. Amar Lahem Af Lazu Yesh Edim Shar Kresa Ben Shina. He says there's Edim over here also, because remember the second case of our mission was she's Muberes, she's pregnant. So if she's pregnant, obviously she was Nevelas. Amru Lo, so they said back, Rov of the Chavim Prutzim Ba Rayosheim. So that part doesn't seem to match the conversation. That doesn't really seem to answer the point that she's Kreis of Mishnah. Most of the Chavim are Prutzim Ba Rayos. So what? What does that have to do with anything? So the Gemara is going to deal with that, with what the conversation is exactly over here. Amalem, so he responds back, Ein Apotropos La Rayos. That even when it's not of the Chavim, if there's been a Yichud, there's an Ein Apotropos La Rayos. And that's only about the edus of the woman about herself, but about the child, everyone's going to agree the vlad is a shtuki. So says Gemara, let's try to make sense of this conversation over here. Maika amruluhu, maika mahajile. What was he saying to them? What were they saying back? What happened over here? Sachi ka amrile. Hishaftanu alam. This is what they were saying to him. Hishaftanu alam uberes. Meaning by saying kresa ben shineha, you had a good point about the muberes, that you know that she was pregnant. That should be the same thing as the shvuya, and therefore you shouldn't believe her. But matish ivenu ala medaberes. But what about the case of medaberes? The Chacham say back to Rabbi Shua, why are you so machmir? Even in a case where all you know is that she was medaberes, you don't have a raya that she was nivela. Amr lahem, so Rabbi Shua responds back, medaberes hainu shvuya. What do you mean? Medaberes is a shvuya. That's exactly the same case of a shvuya. By shvuya, we didn't see the bia either. So it's exactly the same case. By shvuya, we just know that she was held captive. So over here, we just know that she was alone with this guy. So what do we need to know anymore? Amr lo, the Chacham said back to Rabbi Shua, shiny shvuya, the rov lechav prutzim barayos heim. No, shvuya is different because she was captive amongst the goyim, and rov of the chav prutzim barayos. So that's why by shvuya, it's worse. Amalem Rabbi Shua responds back, Hanami kiven de istatar ain't apotropos la'arayos. No, it doesn't matter. Once a woman's alone in a room with somebody, it doesn't make a difference. Every day ain't apotropos la'arayos doesn't make a difference if it's over the chavim or not. There's a, we have to assume that arayos happened. But katani mias tarti medaberes umu uberes. But apparently, it's very clear in this conversation in the Braisa that there are two cases that are separate, that are different from each other in terms of whether we know she had bia or not. Muberes was the case that's Kresa Ben Shina, where we said, okay, there we know she had Bia. Midaberes, we're assuming, we don't know for sure, we're relying on Ein Apotropos La'arayos, of the Chavim Prutzim Bara, these kinds of ideas. So it sounds like Midaberes is only that we know about a Yichud, not that we know that she had an actual Bia. Tiyufta, Dravasi, Tiyufta. So that once and for all is a Tiyufta on Ravasi. That it can't mean that Midaberes can't mean that she actually was Nivellas, because it's clear in the Braisa that we're assuming Midaberes just means Nistra, that they had Yichud. Fractal Gemara, Vitape, Gleidasim, Rov, Psulinetzla, Vacha, Rov, Ksheirinetzla. Why don't we say that it should be different in the case of Rav Psula Netzah versus Rav Ksheir Netzah, meaning in the case of a Shvuya, it's Rav Psula Netzah, whereas over here it's Rav Ksheir Netzah. Misayle Rav Shua ben Levi, there's a riot, Rav Shua ben Levi. Damar Rav Shua ben Levi, L'divrei HaMachshir, Machshir Afilu B'Rav Psulin, L'divrei HaPosel, Posel Afilu B'Rav Ksheirim. That the Rav is not going to make a difference. If you're going to say that the woman is Kasher, she's going to be Kasher even if it's Rav Psulin. If you say that she's going to be Posel, she's going to be Posel even if it's Rav Ksheirim. Now we go back to the machlokas that we alluded to on Amud Aleph, but didn't see it in its original yet. So the machlokas from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua about whether the woman is kasher or not. How does that reflect on or relate to the kashrus of the child that she has? So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, if you hold the woman is kasher, meaning if you're Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar and you say the woman is kasher, you hold that the baby's kasher as well. And if you are Rabbi Yoshua and you hold the woman is pasul, well then her daughter is pasul as well. Rabbi Lazar, the Amora says, no. Either Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar would say that the woman is now menace about herself, but the daughter is going to be pasul. My time with Rabbi Lazar, why would you say the daughter is going to be pasul? Bishlami ihi isla chazaka de kashrus. Because I understand very well that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar are going to say that she's believed because she has a cheskas kashrus. But bita lasa cheskas chazaka de kashrus. The daughter came into the world besafek. She never had a cheskas kashrus, and therefore the daughter is going to be pasul. Rabbi Lazar asks on Rabbi Yochanan, who thinks that it's always consistent that if the mother's kasher, the daughter's kasher; if the mother's pasul, the daughter's pasul. By medvar mamurim beidus yishu begufa, avleidus yishu bebita divrei kol avlad shtuki. My love shtuki apostle, that we have a brisa that tells us that by neidus yishu bebita that the whole machlokas is only about the woman herself, but about the daughter is definitely going to be a shtuki. Doesn't that mean the daughter is definitely going to be pasul? So how can you say that Rabbi Lazar and Gamliel, who are machshir ba, would be machshir bebita? It says over here clearly that the daughter is definitely going to be pasul. The daughter is definitely going to be a shtuki. So he says, no, shtuki doesn't mean pasul. No, shtuki yukashir. The word shtuki could mean that it's a shtuki yukashir. Is there such a thing as a kasher, a shtuki? If a person was a kasher, why would we call him a shtuki? Says Gemara, in kiddushmul, damar shmul, asar kohanim omdim. Let's say you have 10 kohanim that are there, upir shechem mem ubaal, and one of them goes and is boel a pnuya, and we don't know who the boel is. Havlad, the shtuki, the child from that bia, even though he's definitely kasher for yichus, because he definitely was nolad from a kohen kasher, nevertheless he's considered to be a shtuki. So Gemara says, my shtuki. Well, what does it mean he's a shtuki? In what sense do we not know anything? Do we not know something about him? If it means that he doesn't get a Yerusha Pshita, he's not going to get a Yerusha Omiya. We don't know which father's Yerusha to give him. Either we don't know who father is. Now the Chiddush in saying is a Shtuki is that he doesn't get to do the Avodah Beis Hamikdash, doesn't get to eat Truma, and even though his father's definitely a Kohen, since we don't know which Kohen it is, that locks him off from Truma and from doing the Avodah. Why? Pasuk says, Vaisa lo ulazaru achrav bris kuhunas olam. We darshan from lo ulzaro acharav misha zaru miyuchas acharav. It's only when you can trace your yichus that you kasha lakuna, that you have bris kuhunas olam, yatazeh shein zaru miyuchas acharav. As opposed to this person, who we don't know who the father is, he therefore has no din of kuna. And that's what we mean, that he's a shtuki. But he's definitely kasha liyuchsin, and he's definitely kasha, and the girl that's born is definitely going to be kasha to marry a kohen. And that's how we can explain the brisa, that l'divrei kol avlad shtuki means that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Vlad is going to be kasher lakuna, but nevertheless he's a shtuki legabe this din, that he himself doesn't have a din of kuhuna, even though the woman is believed to say ish ploni kohen haya. Nevertheless, she's not in a menace to say who the kohen was, which kohen it was, and if we don't know who it is, the Vlad does not have a din of kuhuna. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up on the bottom of there tomorrow. All right.